This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons back here live on the Dean College stage.
Running into old friends out here.
Yeah. Apparently, Ted Johnson once entertained people for 45 minutes at Logan Airport.
That's
kept
what I
everybody
do.
Happy.
What'd you do? Juggling or?
I, you know what?
Bobsled soft shoe.
What the entertaining looked like? I'm sure I was bad.
Stories.
Let me guess.
Emmitt Smith was involved.
They shouted out a name, and Ted told a story you've never heard before. I know this. I know this game.
Oh, Kim Basinger. She and I once shared a steamy embrace in an airport.
I went to Vegas with no tickets, and then I met Bono, and he said, "Come to the show tonight."
It's always something.
Andy knows me. He's gone on a trip with me.
Yep.
It's like there's times when he's looked at me as if to say, Ted, will you ever shut the heck up?
There was a little bit of that in the little airport in Green Bay.
I was excited.
We were delayed, and I was like,
is end of the trip?
Can we stop? Yeah, on the way back. Before spending a night we weren't supposed to spend in Chicago, whole thing.
The same
so thing. That could have played into like, okay, shut up. Stop with the story.
You love stories.
I'm a big fan of stories.
But, we are.
Storytelling is big where I come from.
We are here in the buzz of Patriot Place, Tom Brady night. Patriots preseason opener against the Commanders.
And
everybody's excited.
Some very special smoke
people
around
are
me right
pre-gaming
now.
In different ways, drinking, smoking maybe, different things going on. We are at the Dean College stage outside of Citizen Crust Pizza Place. But it is 5 o'clock, and as we always do here on WEEI Afternoons, that means it's time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep.
Top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
Brady night.
Not what they said.
Yep.
Nope, not what they said.
Sammy Hagar, big fan of Brady.
Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know.
Cabo Wabo, whatever is.
Like one of the best tequila producers in North America, Sammy Hagar.
What are you? Look at you knowing your tequilas. Anyway, we're going to start with football, Fitzy. I know we've been battling. There's been this like tug. Is it a football night? Is it a statue night? Is it nostalgia? Is it future? Is it that? We're starting football. Ted's bigger, so we appease him and start real football talk.
You know what it reminds me of, actually? I'm going to dip into the movie well, sci-fi, which is, of course, your favorite.
72 years ago, of course.
This is like one of those requels, like a movie like The Force Awakens where you like, you know, the one where, spoiler alert, Han Solo dies. It's like you bring a little bit of the past for fan service or member berries, but then you have new characters. Rey becomes the next Jedi, you know what I mean? Like this is one of those like crossover events like here comes the past, you have some connective tissue, and now the future can take off.
Bingo.
Thank
you. Ooh, that even landed with Ted Bingo. Johnson.
Bingo.
Heck yeah.
There was just like a peace treaty coming together.
Bingo.
Love it.
We got it.
Okay. So I'm going to start with my player to watch tonight, and it's kind of the obvious one dovetailing off of the story you just told, because if Tom Brady is Han Solo, then Drake May needs to take off with whoever the next Han Solo is.
Drake May Ray?
Drake May is the guy that matters than anyone in Gillette Stadium, more than Vrabel, more than Kraft, more than anyone for the next 3 years, because if Drake May doesn't take the steps that he's supposed to be taking, the year two jump, the Orlovsky loves him, Peter Schrager loves him, all these things, if he doesn't start that process,
I'll get pie in my face too.
Yeah, and then you'll be resetting, and then you'll be like, oh shoot, do we not have a quarterback? You're one of those teams that starts to wonder, and you don't want to be in that in-between land of, I think the Jaguars went down this road, oh, I'm going to give the guy $270 million. I'm not sure if he's really that good or really worth the money. Right. So Drake May.
Worst place to be, sorry, to not know what you got in your quarterback.
Correct.
4 years into his tenure.
I want to start knowing tonight that in year two, forget the O-line, forget the this, that, and the other thing. The quarterback is the superstar. So to me, whether it's three plays, whether it's 10 plays, one series, two series, hopefully two series so I get a little sampling, Drake May needs to be the positive story tonight.
Andy, when the first Patriot Monday here on WEEI interview takes place this coming Monday, and you are talking to Drake May for us.
Yeah, I need a box to stand up.
Two boxes, maybe two apples, as they say in the movie industry. It's okay. They're only 6 inches a pop. He's a big boy. What are you talking to him about? Let's just sort of like take a peek. Are we talking about, I felt good, it was great to be out there, it was not like I felt the love and the buzz from Brady night, I felt good out there against the Commanders.
That is a great point, Nick Fitzy Stevens, that I hadn't thought of, because as you guys know, I struggle with the
English language.
Nope. just the BS mode, the faking it. Like,
I know.
You know, we're doing an interview with Drake May on Monday.
Yep.
If he lays an egg tonight in the first two series, I'm sorry, I got to ask about the egg he laid on Friday night in front of all those fans. Were you stressed because Brady had a statue? What the hell's going on? Why do you keep throwing picks when you step on Gillette Stadium turf? So to avoid that interview,
yep,
I'd like him to help me help him avoid that interview. Don't do it.
Yes.
Don't go out there and make mistakes.
Yes.
And that's where, Ted, I have confidence in Josh McDaniels to kind of facilitate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I was at the interview, I would probably go a little bit more of a big picture, just kind of yep. camp and so far in your second year. What's your leadership? I'm curious just to
yep.
see how his leadership gets developed. You know, Vrabel's kind of – he's been working on it in a indirect way when he encourages Drake to celebrate with his teammates after a big, you know, play. He wants more, I think, him to be more open and more vocal. And so he's trying to teach him to be a better leader. So I'm curious to see how that manifests, what that looks like from the, you know, from the stands.
And I want to know – you know, when does he know something clicks with a receiver, with a running back, with somebody on the field? How many reps does it take? How many completions? You know, when does he just know, like, hey, because we're obviously all been talking this week, like, he and Hunter Henry, they got a thing.
Yep.
He and Pop Douglas, that looks like it is now officially a thing. When does he know, and what does it take for him to know a connection is happening and there's chemistry involved?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Especially, I mean, certainly the guy that you wonder about that with is Stephon Diggs. Is he supposed to be the number one receiver? We've talked a little bit about joint practices in camp, drill start, go to Diggs, kick things off. Does that continue on a game field if Diggs is out there with him? And what is that rapport like? And then the flip side of that is true because Diggs has a little bit of a negative history with quarterbacks in terms of he can be a guy who needs to be managed a little bit with yeah. his expectations of how often he's going to get the ball or when he should get
yeah.
the ball.
And I think him and Steph Diggs kind of had a connection early on in camp, and that is kind of tailed off
yep.
in the last week or so. So I'd like to see him. You know, when you know what you can kind of consistently depend on it, Fitzy, it's when you do it multiple times to multiple opponents. So, you know, you have your own defense that you go up against. Then you play Washington's defense. Now they're going to play Minnesota's next week. Can they do it against, you know, consistently against different competition? Then they'll have faith and trust in each other. And honestly, as much time as you can spend with each other outside of football, the better. That just trust comes naturally and more easily if you kind of spend that time together off the field. It just trust me, it works better if you do that.
Maybe that post Drake May wedding receiver camp bonding trip that he put on for a couple of days that Pop Douglas told us
yeah,
about.
There was value in that.
Now, next week, you're going to be going out to the Twin Cities for a couple of days. And you'll be yeah. going up against another NFC team that could very well have Super Bowl aspirations, depending on the level of play and maturation of J.J. McCarthy. You know what? Go out. Have some Juicy Lucy's. Go check out this. Go to St. Paul. Check out the Twin Cities. Like, and also get out there and gear up for what should be some hard-nosed practices together.
Yeah, those are not going to be easy next week. Brian Flores' defense, like, that's going to be a step
these
in
are
the process.
Jonathan Grenard is – I think he just came in at, like, number 50 on the NFL top 100. He's one of the best pass rushers no one's talking about.
These two teams that they're doing joint practices against to start preseason, good. Invaluable stuff.
Yep, good lumber.
And it's good to – you know, you don't want to get to the difficult stuff when the games count. Like, you might as well get it out of the way and get yourself ready.
Right.
So I think we can all agree that the top player to watch tonight will be Drake May.
Without a doubt.
Who's next? If I said somebody
Will Campbell.
Yeah.
It's the next guy I'm most curious. I want to see what Will Campbell looks like. I haven't seen as much of him in practice, and I'm just curious to see what does he do against a blitz, an overload blitz, a two-man stunt, a three-man stunt. You know, does he have false starts? I'm just curious how competent he looks playing left tackle because, let's face it, his camp so far has been up and down.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of people that are maybe questioning the you know him long term at that position.
Did you guys see as part of the preseason football last night? Did you guys see the play that was heavily scrutinized? But a lot of the quarterbacks and people that knew ball came out on the side of ooh that is not the right tackle's fault. That is Anthony Richardson's fault. Did you see the play where he got blown up, got a concussion last night in Colts versus Ravens?
I did, but why don't you tell everybody about it?
Okay, so Anthony Richardson takes a shotgun snap and immediately has two hot routes available to him on the right side, a running back and a receiver who peels right off. Richardson turns and looks left. There is a free release of a blitzer off his right side, the left of the right tackle. The right tackle picks up a linebacker blitzing straight up to his center path. And so this guy has free release. And everyone immediately jumps into, as this guy just labels Anthony Richardson, no small human, drops him into the ground, concussed, could be dinged up for quite a while. Everyone, oh my God, worst offensive line play I've seen. You can't have that. I'm sure some Pats fans are like, oh God, hope Morgan Moses doesn't do that. When in fact, this was the quarterback, and this is why I talked about why it's so important for Drake May and McDaniels to be hive mind and also working with Doug Marrone. And no, look, if we're going to let in a guy that fast, you check your two hots, get it out there, or just boot and run and take away. Don't ever take a hit like that. That was brutal, Ted.
I did see him. He's making more audibles. He did not have the liberty to make a lot of checks at the line of scrimmage last year. Whatever the play was called, that's the play we're running. Right. And now you see him up there. He's check, and he's motioning guys, and he's moving guys to get into a better situation so they can avoid breakdowns and protection.
And that's McDaniel's whole philosophy, and why it's difficult is I give you the answer for every situation. You just need to be smart enough to know you need the answer and execute the answer. But that's a lot of answers. There's a lot going through your head, adjustments, being on the same page with your center and your lineman and all those things. But the theory is, in his whole offense, is the reason it's hard is because if you really get it down, you know what to do every play. I don't know where Drake May is in that evolution, and he probably doesn't right now, right? Until they start throwing crap at him and seeing how he reacts.
Just got out of the starting gate.
Right. But, you know, that's important, too, is to just observe him. And I guess that's sort of the next question is, what does a successful game look like tonight? Like, what is it, you know, I know the first thing for every coach is healthy. Everybody walks off the field. Everybody's ready to go at practice next week. You don't get anybody dinged up. But beyond that, what does a successful game look like?
Clean operation.
Yeah.
You know, so from an offensive standpoint, no false starts, no pre-snap penalties, in and out, no delay games. Just from an operational standpoint, look competent, look good. You know, to me, just completions. You know, it doesn't have to be anything. Yeah, you just look like, you know, like you can move the ball a little bit. I'd like to see Drake May at least for 10, 15 plays.
Absolutely.
That would be, to me, ideal. That gives you a little bit of a taste, if you will. And I think he needs to work.
Yeah,
I think it would be dumb not to play him in these preseason games. So I just think, you know, no blown assignments, look efficient, get in and out of the huddle, no pre-snap stuff. That's kind of what you really want to see be executed at a high level in this first game.
Andy, can I also just say, guys, like, I have missed everything that's going on right now. Like, this is a preseason game. And, again, we talked about the fact that it is the confluence of the Brady ceremony and also year two EEI afternoon. Huge, absolutely huge.
Ted Johnson signing
drive.
Appearance.
Yeah, my God, the line alone. But just the fact that we can all tell, like, Andy, we've been here in various aspects. Ted, I know you moved the area back to the air a while ago, but you've been down here a bunch. Have you felt like it? We haven't felt anything like this in a while, have we?
No. There's has not
regular
been.
Season games. No, there hasn't been anything like this since 2021.
Well, because the hope is, I think, more valid. We've tried to talk ourselves into certain things.
Correct.
But there was a certain reality to that you were talking yourself into it. Now, I think because of Vrabel, because of May, even if you're a New England fan,
yes.
Have you noticed that it's almost like you're getting out super fanned by national people? You're like, I love Drake May. And then you watch Pete Schrager or Orlovsky, and you're like, wait, he likes Drake May more than I like Drake May. Like, the national guys are almost making you,
right,
you know, seem not so much a super fan.
I think a big part of it, let's face it, if Gerard Mayo was still the head coach of this team, would there be a...
No.
So you go, okay, so Vrabel's...
No.
Vrabel is a...
He's a star, Ted.
He is... Well, you know what it is? Did anybody in the media see hiring Vrabel as a negative? Like, one person?
No.
Did you hear one person say, you know what, not a good hire?
There was a little, teeny, like, that wanted an offensive coach, Ben Johnson.
But little, teeny,
very
tiny.
Little.
And so my point is they hired a guy that the entire Boston media corps, like, corps totally backed and signed off on.
Yep.
And so it's for the fans, you know, and they're constantly hearing – you know, how us talking heads think, how great of a hire it is, it inspires the fan base and gets them more excited. And I think that's a big reason why people are so into the Patriots
and
this year.
As much as he could, he's validated it in what he's doing in the offseason.
Agreed.
That's only so much you can do, but he hasn't stepped in it. I would say, what's the biggest mistake Mike Vrabel has made since he was hired in January? So he's had 8 months to...
That's a good question.
Because I can tell you Gerard Mayo stepped in it many, 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 many times.
He stepped in it 5 minutes
January.
Into it.
So what is Mike Vrabel's biggest mistake? Because... It's one of those questions I'm asking because I
there's
don't know
one,
the answer.
There is possibly one thing, and it's going to take us a while to figure out what his biggest mistake is or could be, and that's did he fall in love preemptively with Will Campbell?
Yeah, but I don't – that's a talent evaluation.
Give me two or three options they would have had.
That's the only one I could think of.
I will say I looked ahead. Look at me doing some 2026 draft research. Did you know they're already projecting left tackles to go in the top 10 picks? Next year's draft class loaded.
I guess who's not going to be picking in the top 10?
Not this team, but if they need a tackle, they might be picking in the top 10 because of the way the tackle
Where did Calvin Banks go, by the way?
But it's an I'm not sure, but okay. It's an interesting question. Like, what is – I can't think of anything that Mike is kind of, at this point, done that warrants criticism.
Right. Whereas with Mayo, we knew immediately, you probably shouldn't have said burn some cash.
I don't see the whole racism thing.
Or, you know what? We don't want to start practice this week. Right. That extra week of practice, we don't need. There was a bunch of them.
I don't know why that was one of my biggest pet peeves.
Because it was stupid.
You have a new coach, and you're starting the offseason program a week late.
It was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, you need the time. That's why the rules allow for you to have the time.
I thought that was embarrassing.
For you, it was, and it turns out it was indicative of where things were kind of going. Anyway, we're going towards Fitzy's story of the night. That is Tom Brady, the statue. And before we get into the discussion, the Patriots put out a little promo video clip. We'll roll that now.
Last year, we commissioned a local sculptor to create a larger-than-life bronze statue to perpetuate the legendary legacy of the great Tom Brady.
They have completed the greatest comeback.
It's gotta be perfect, all right?
What a throw by Brady.
We are not finished, son.
It is the honor of my life to be officially enshrined into the winning legacy of this amazing organization.
Yeah!
I am Tom Brady, and I am a Patriot.
And a Raider. And the head of TB12.
Fit that in there, don't
you? And a Fox color commentator.
And a card shop owner.
And a card shop owner. Please buy my cards. Yeah,
and
there's
a
lot.
Premier League owner. Yeah.
And a Premier League owner.
WNBA.
Oh, that's right. Birmingham City got elevated.
Yeah. Please watch the documentary. People are mad at me about some of the things I said.
Well, he was a little. We're talking about that next week.
Yes, we are definitely going to talk about that. But for the here and now. I know, Ted, you can sit this out if you're statued out.
I'll sit right here.
If there's a statue of limitations on your comments here. But I know, Fitzy, you are very excited. You have your TB12
credential. Look where his hands are.
Yeah, but I don't even have to use my hands to hold up my lanyard.
Oh, boy. So you got your credentials. You're going down
okay,
there.
Okay. All right. That's enough.
What are we expecting from, first of all, Robert Kraft?
Yep.
Is this a weird night for Robert Kraft in that?
Oh, this is a great. Are you kidding? All of his businesses are jammed. You can't get a seat at Bar Louie, Citizen Crest, or anywhere
fifth
else.
Son.
Yeah.
And also saying goodbye to his fifth son.
Well, this is it. Hey, it's not going anywhere.
This is got to be it.
Yeah, no,
this has got to be the last time you can.
No,
you
there's
know.
No more. There's no more. We're not doing any other celebrations.
Tom Brady giveaway night. Show up.
What else is there? Does Tom Brady have an Oktoberfest?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll participate. Yeah,
that's what
this is.
Like. Minor league giveaway, ballpark.
We agreed.
Whatever.
This is the passing of the baton. This is the night where Brady doesn't recede into the backdrop. He says, "Okay, thank you, everybody. Now I have my place outside the stadium where I led you to 6 Super Bowls. Well, the other one got blown up, but it was a dump anyway. But it was our dump, Ted, right?
Of course, baby.
The other one, Foxborough, was our dump.
Right? Oh, I loved playing in that stadium, though.
Did you
really?
Oh, absolutely loved it.
What about the locker room and everything else?
You know what? Didn't mind it as long as the field experience was the way it was.
Yeah?
Give me the old Foxborough Stadium over this new one all day.
Oh, wow. All right, good. But then now, it's Drake's time with Vrabel, and who better than somebody who played against Tom, who played alongside Tom and was part of the iron that sharpened Brady's iron, to then take the baton and run with it. Like, that's why I think this is such a poignant night at the same time as well. And as far as the statue goes, like, I know you don't feel the same way.
You know what?
I'm a little more romantic in that.
Can I just put this out there?
Go ahead.
You know what would be nice?
Sure.
Is if there was a little more of a relationship between Tom and Drake.
Yeah, but that's where the weirdness gets in because Tom's the owner of the Raiders.
I know.
You know what I mean?
There's a conflicting thing with me with that. Like I wish he was like Ortiz
and
is
still
the
a member,
Sox,
you know? An ambassador.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, that's because I was
as long
thinking,
as it's not Ortiz and Devers.
The WWE in me just thought, like, the coolest moment you could ever have, if this was like a WWE pay-per-view, the revealing of the statue when you pull the curtain down, it's not a statue. It's actually Drake May standing there like, I'm the next Tom Brady, and this is the next generation.
Oh, I thought
wouldn't
you were,
that be awesome?
Well, how about this for a work? That they pull the curtain on the Brady statue. You see it. Brady speaks for 2 minutes. Rips off his jacket. It's a Raiders jersey. He grabs hold of a rope from a helicopter, flies away.
Well,
and then
that's
it's just like, you don't want to Tom Brady.
Do we want to go there? Why isn't Brady a Patriot owner? Why didn't he get a little offering of a minority stake in the team?
Because that's a closed circle of Kraft family.
If you really wanted to ensure Tom Brady's legacy here, you would have given him some ownership stake.
He's pretty well entrenched in the hearts and minds of Patriots Nation.
But he's gone. Like, after tonight, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like you said, he's not going to be coming out to talk to Drake May. Or, you know, Terry Bradshaw last year was really, really tight with Pickett. And, in fact, he got,
well,
mad at, he got mad at the Steelers and was like, he didn't screw up. You screwed him up. And he had a relationship with Pickett. And, like, he still has a relationship with quarterbacks. Tom Brady's never going to have that. He's going to have that with Geno Smith and whoever.
Because he has the ultimate Aiden O'Connell's behind him.
Okay, great.
That's the thing. But he has the ultimate conflict of interest. I still don't know, honestly. As much as I love Tom Brady and am grateful for everything that he brought me, my family, our friends, the station, the nation, everything. How in the world can the guy be the lead color analyst for one of the broadcast networks and an owner?
It's crazy.
I don't get how that's like. ESPN and the WWE and the NFL. Like, it's just all
blurred lines now.
It is. It's a conflict of interest mega merger of epic proportions.
No one cares anymore.
And it's a little bit of, you remember the old book, The Jordan Rules? It's the Brady Rules.
Yeah.
I'm sure if some people tried to pull that off, they'd be like, why are we going to let you do that?
Right.
But you're Tom Brady. You've been great for the league. You're the GOAT. You're the ambassador. You're this. You're that. You get to do what you want. So, yeah, we are coming up now and about 40 minutes away from
Woo-wee.
The Tom Brady statue being revealed by Robert Kraft and Tom Brady. Here in the plaza outside the hall at Patriot Place, just outside of Gillette Stadium. WEEI Afternoons is finishing things up here at the Dean College stage between Bar Louie and Citizen Crust. Come on down, say hello, pregame, get ready for Drake May's 2025 season debut. And up next, I made a promise to Ted Johnson. When he does research, when he gets out the legal pad, when he has stats and numbers and information, we use it. So Ted Johnson's 3 points of success for the 2025 Patriots, that's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, and for the final time today, Dan Ball, what's trending?
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Cars for Kids. The Red Sox open up a 6-game road trip tonight. They begin a 3-game series in San Diego against the Padres. First pitch is at 9:40. Walker Buehler will start against Nick Pivetta. And you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcand is tonight at 8:40, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the series. From earlier this afternoon, the Red Sox claimed catcher Ali Sanchez off of waivers from the Toronto Blue Jays. Sanchez will meet the team in San Diego. He is a career 186 hitter and 46 games over the span of 4 seasons. The Celtics announced today that the team has signed head coach Joe Mazzulla to a multi-year contract extension. Mazzulla is coming off of his 3rd season as Boston's coach and has guided the team to the playoffs in each season, including the franchise's 18th NBA title, to cap off the 23-24 campaign. The Patriots kick off the 2025 preseason tonight against the Washington Commanders. Kickoff is at 7:30. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels is not expected to play in the game this evening. Also on the NFL scoreboard tonight, the Lions are at the Falcons and the Browns are at the Panthers. Both games are kicking off at 7 p.m. And from around the league, Chargers Pro Bowl left tackle Rashawn Slater will miss the 2025 season with a ruptured patellar tendon that he suffered in practice on Thursday. Don't waste time trying to get rid of your old or broken car. Cars for Kids is the easiest and fastest way to donate your car and get a tax deduction. Go to carsforkids.org today. That's cars with a K. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons live at Patriot Place coming up right after this.